Welcome to the new IT. Welcome to the show today. What's going on in the house, Mr. Bradster? What's happening today in the new IT house?
Where's Festive Bobby?
Where's Festive?
Where did he go? Like, the last few episodes we've done, like, right?
I'm mellowed out now. This is 23.
Right.
2023.
New year, new Bobby? Is that what we're talking about?
Sure. At least till, you know, I get some energy drinks in me or some crap.
There it is. Maybe that's what we need. I'm excited for today's show.
First
show of the year. Can't beat that. That's always an awesome feeling.
Yes.
But we actually have a past company that we've been with, but it just now we're doing
had on the show before.
That we've had on the show.
Different person from that company.
Exactly. So we have Trevor Lane with Breeze Airways.
And Breeze Airways.
Right? There you go. There's that Bobby I know.
Once I get on the show, then I get excited.
Right? Exactly.
There we go.
So yeah, so we're going to talk software engineering.
I just
and all
like
that
saying that. I just got to say.
Yeah.
Breeze Airways.
It's fun, isn't it?
Hey, if you need any audio.
Yeah,
let me know.
You know who to go to.
You can be on Breeze Airways. Anyway, sorry, I'm having way too much fun.
just a little bit.
So everybody will remember Breeze Airways,
yeah.
Baby.
Right, exactly.
Breeze Airways. Okay, I'm done. Saying
you sure? One more?
Breeze
maybe?
Airways. Like, oh, all crap. Right. What did I get into?
Right. This is... He's like, what did I agree to? Man.
Well, Brad accused me of being mellow and crap, so I had to...
Right. You had to spice it up a little
all
bit.
All right.
I get it.
I'm having... Okay. What do you think, Brad? What's going on today? What are we going to get deep in on?
Yeah. So same thing as always, but actually we get a new point of view with Trevor. So I'm really excited. I mean, we get to learn more about the software development side of things and all the cool things they're doing over there.
Yeah, so yeah. We want to start with just learning about Trevor.
Yeah.
Give us some background. We like to kind of know who we're talking to.
Yeah, tell us about yourself.
Yeah.
So live in Utah with my wife and two kids. We have twins, so they keep us pretty busy.
Oh,
so,
I bet.
Yeah.
How old?
Twins.
They just turned, three in September.
Ooh, okay.
So...
They're starting to run away.
Exactly.
Yeah, they have attitudes.
I was going to say, not necessarily run away, but now it's with attitude.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's with flair.
No is their favorite word.
Exactly.
No, I'm not going to do that.
It's the threenager stage, if you've heard of that. It's very real.
Threenager. That's awesome.
I haven't heard of that one. That's cool.
Threenager. Oh, my gosh. I'm totally going to. I've never heard that.
No, I haven't either, surprisingly.
I'm going to use it, though, now.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So aside from that, studied computer science down in Provo, finished up a degree a few years ago, and just been working as a software developer, transitioned into management earlier this year, around April or so, and trying to ramp up on that skill set. It's pretty different than writing software.
just a little bit, right?
Messing with people. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a little hard for some of our techie brain folks.
Yeah, it's different.
It's different. So, how's it? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of dive in here. I mean, I know this wasn't kind of one of our questions, but you said you've been there since April. Mm-hmm. What have you learned since April to make you want to get into the leadership side of things, or what made you do that?
Yeah. So I originally started at Breeze in December of 2020 and then transitioned into management April of this year. And I think really the main motivator for me was just seeing how I could maybe bring some changes about and really just sort of build a culture, build a team at Breeze. I don't know that there was anything like fundamentally different about what I could bring to the table other than just had an idea for sort of an environment within the information systems organization at Breeze that could be.
You had an idea?
A couple of them.
You said, hey guys, I got this idea. And they actually listened and said, oh, well, hey, how about you run with that idea? Is that how it happened? I'm just
essentially
putting words in your mouth. I'm curious because that's an interesting thing.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. And I think Breeze in general, that's, you know, listening, learning, iterating. That's actually sort of baked into the DNA of Breeze, I would say. And I think a lot of that comes just by virtue of, you know, who founded our company, which is David Neeleman. If you're familiar with him, he's founded several companies. Exactly.
So
he's sort of a pioneer of the industry. He's gone out, founded these airlines, and has really sought to do things differently. And so that's sort of core to Breeze is, you know, the best idea wins. Let's iterate, let's learn, and, you know, keep changing things up.
So, and this isn't really necessarily a question either, but I always love
culture, talking mm-hmm. about culture, especially when it comes to technology. Mm-hmm. So could you, I'm just throwing a new question out there because I'm interested. What, because I think you kind of set a stage there that it sounds like there's a specific kind of culture there. What would you call that? What would you say the culture is?
The culture of Breeze?
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, it really goes to sort of a foundational skill set or competency with what we bring to the table in terms of our technical skills. And then from there, it's high levels of autonomy, ownership, really having the space to build, take ideas from start to finish, being creative about your work. And that sort of kind of goes back to the idea of, you know, Breeze being an airline, a travel company, you know, getting people from point A to B, like that sort of autonomy or, just giving people space to do what they need to do, I guess you could say. I think culture, it's sort of hard to define, right?
It is.
It is.
Yeah, like, I guess.
But you know what you like.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know when you fit in the culture, you know what I mean? You
exactly.
know when you fit or when you don't.
When you get that, you know, that feel-good feeling, there's something to that, but yeah.
Yeah, and I think sort of bringing that travel point home, what I'm referring to more is, you know, as a travel company, getting to things like remote work, right, and using those travel benefits, being part of a Breeze, that's sort of a big part of being an employee at an airline is being able to travel. And so that kind of connects to the whole idea of, you know,
culture.
Remote work, autonomy, ownership, those sorts mm-hmm. of things, they all come together.
So I have another random question.
We're just going off script today.
Right?
We're throwing it.
Totally.
I love it. New year, man.
Exactly. New year, new podcast, right?
Yeah.
What advice would you give to somebody that's a software developer that's kind of teetering on whether or not management's right for them?
Yeah. That's a really good question. I think everybody needs to sort of approach it differently. You have to take an honest look at yourself and kind of... you know, ask what you really want out of your career. I think for some people, it's definitely not the best option. But if you're someone who really gets sort of fulfillment and satisfaction out of helping other people, I think that's really sort of the biggest signal, I would say. Because that's fundamentally what you're doing, right? Is, you know, you're
agreed.
There helping others, helping a team, putting people, you know, in front of yourself to accomplish a mission.
Yeah. I mean, Bobby and I have talked about this before, but oftentimes, or too many times in the tech industry, you see somebody think that their natural progression is management. Mm-hmm. And we found that it may not be the best fit for everybody.
Yeah.
So I think you hit it right on where you say you have to really understand that it's more not about you in your career. It's about helping people and seeing the growth of the company or the vision and the mission.
Yeah, and I think a good thing about our industry lately is it seems that there's more room now for progression as an individual contributor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Moving from an engineer to a senior engineer up to staff or principal, that's sort of, it's more commonplace, whereas in the past, maybe, you know, the next step once you get to a certain level is people management, which is sort of a contradiction. What makes you good as an engineer does not necessarily make you good as a people leader.
Agreed. 100% agree.
Exactly.
And I love that we're starting to see it go that way because it is needed for people that, you know, when they get to a senior or even lead, they're just kind of like, well, I have nowhere else to go, mm-hmm. so I have to go to management. And it's like, no, you don't.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No, you shouldn't.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Cool. So should we get back on track?
Yeah, now back on track.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, this is good. I think this was great. So how would you say, and we've asked this to your colleague,
mm-hmm.
would you say that Breeze Airways is a disruptor in the industry that it's in?
Yeah, so I think, when my colleague answered, you know, he talked about just really showing up with modern tech practices.
I remember that.
Yeah,
I remember that being a pretty...
Yep. A big
yeah,
that
was
point.
Pretty cool.
And I think that point is sort of driven home by, I don't know if you heard about the Southwest sort of issues.
I was going to tie into that, but I didn't want to bring it up. I was waiting for you to.
Well,
so,
he did, so right? It's
exactly.
open now.
It's open season.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's pretty much aware at this point.
Right.
But there, you know, we sort of talk about that, showing up to the industry with just modern tech practices. It's really just showing up, and then we sort of get written off with that answer. It's like, okay, you know. But then you sort of see there are companies with, you know, complex infrastructure that is aging, that's not updated, and you know, I don't know all the details of that specific incident, but I think that is sort of an accurate snapshot of the industry in general. Is there's a lot of stodgy technology, there's technology that we integrate with that's very difficult to work with, and it's because of the age, it's not modern. And so yeah, I would just sort of piggyback off that answer, which is Well, there's sort of two parts of it. The first part is, yeah, showing up with modern technology practices. And then the second part, I think, goes back to what I was saying earlier with that sort of founder DNA that comes with just the culture within the company, you know, sort of questioning the status quo, just looking for better ways to do things, you know.
Yeah, I think it. Being in the I've been in the tech industry going on 30 years. So I've seen a lot of technology. And I do know that when companies have been around a while, they got a lot of legacy stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, okay, this is millions upon millions of dollars to change this infrastructure. Yeah. Let's see what we can do to get away with this for just a few more years. Do you think that's kind of what's happened in a lot of the airway space or the I mean, because they've been around a long time.
Yeah.
And gosh, I can't imagine trying to integrate. And you guys, here you come. Man, we get fresh. We get to build new. We get to have the technology we use and put it in now.
Yeah.
It makes me want to just fly in new airways, new airplanes.
Yeah, I do think that challenge, you know, facing a decaying code base or whatever it is, that's sort of existent, not just in the airlines, but many industries.
Everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think a good example of that is, you know, if you're familiar with the acquisition of Twitter, and there's been a lot of talk about, you know, new engineers diving into that code base and it being very complex and talk of an entire rewrite, which, you know, for some folks, that's insane to rewrite an application from, you know, nothing. So, yeah, it's just one of those questions technology leaders have to face time and time again. So.
How hard could it be? It's just a little chat-like
just
program.
Just a little bit, right?
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It is how many words? 127 or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
Letters, characters?
256.
I mean, come on. That can't be that difficult to rewrite that whole thing, can it?
Yeah. No, not at all.
Yeah.
What's that old adage saying? If it ain't broke, don't fix
it. Exactly.
Oh, but it's totally broke. That's the problem.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I mean, it depends on how you look at it, I guess. If you don't mind lots of bots and craziness on Twitter, I guess it's,
there's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole other rabbit hole.
Oh, my gosh. We are going down a rabbit hole. Sorry, dude. We're just going to talk.
It's all good.
Oh, my gosh.
So. How would you say that, like, I mean, I know we've heard from John, but how would you say the technology is innovative over at Breeze? Like, what are you guys doing in your day-to-day, you know, not maybe not necessarily yours anymore, but in a day-to-day developer role, how is the technology innovative? How are you guys being creative with what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, we talked about sort of showing up with new and modern tech practices and, like, integrating with those. So, I mean, as far as a developer's perspective, you know, again, we're able to show up each and every day and sort of set fresh eyes on these problems and, you know, solve some of these challenges that exist with the latest and greatest tooling and sort of tackle each of these challenges, you know, not necessarily having a lot of that baggage hanging over our head. I would say that's sort of probably the biggest advantage that we have.
Do you have any leeway? I mean, I would think that when it comes to aeronautics or airlines or whatever, there's got to be some fine lines that you got to, like, travel down, I would think.
Yeah.
I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
But as far as technology goes, do you guys have some leeway to have fun with it or to make it better and not just have to follow really strict
guidelines?
Yeah, so there, I mean, there are a lot of guidelines, regulations that come from the Department of Transportation and the FAA. So those are things that we need to be aware of. And we
would
have
you say
follow.
It stifles technology or it just keeps people safe?
Or both? It's more about giving people the information that they need to really understand what's going on. You know, air travel can be complex.
I can't imagine.
Right.
So understanding, you know, what does your booking actually mean? What are you, you know, what rights do you have in terms of cancellations or changing it? You know, bringing on bags, right? What bags can you bring?
See,
how much can they weigh?
I
all
can't
that stuff.
Fathom.
So there's a lot of that sort of stuff that goes into it. But that aside, you know, once we comply with those regulations, which I would say it's not too heavy of a lift, in terms of picking the tooling, the technology, yeah, that's totally up to us. We have a lot of freedom and autonomy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
So,
yeah.
Cool. Huh. So, we know that you guys, you know, take care of, you know, everything in-house, but How big is the team? What sort of tech stack are you guys using? What do you favor?
Let's get techy. Let's get geeky.
Let's
here.
Get Come down on, to the nitty gritty.
Geek us out.
So the total company size is actually pretty big. There's like over 1,000 employees. As far as the group that I work with, we have about 26 full-time software engineers. We have three teams right now, and those are split across sort of two parts of the business. There's the commercial side. So if you go to flybreeze.com or view our apps in the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store, you know, that's the software that those teams are working on. And then we have a team that's building internal tooling to facilitate sort of day of flight operations. Mm-hmm. And so as far as the tech stack that we use, on the front end on the commercial side, we have Angular applications, so one that builds to web and one that builds to mobile platforms, so Android and iOS. Mm-hmm. And on the back end, we have a set of Rails services, so Ruby on Rails. Mm-hmm. And those are built sort of as headless services that the front end interacts with. And there's a few other integrations with those services. And then it's a similar architecture on the operations side, except instead of using an Angular application on the front end, we use a React application. So a couple JavaScript frameworks and libraries, and then those integrate with those Rails services.
So I'm curious on that front, like you're using both Angular and React. How come just not stay with one or the other? What was the push to?
Yeah. So again, that goes to the teams being able to decide, you know, what technology, what tools they want to use and what works best for them. And so we started with that Angular application a few years ago on the commercial side. And then when we started building some of this internal tooling on the operation side, we decided that Angular was not the tool that we wanted to use. So they went with React instead.
Just out of curiosity, and I'm throwing this out here, I mean, do you ever think you could imagine like switching to one platform? Or, I mean, being in that software development and understanding that, you know, you have autonomy.
Yeah.
Is that something that, you know, you may find a couple years down the road that, hey, this is something we should make the switch to? And do you think management would support it at that point?
So we do have to be pragmatic in that, you know, it would be a very big
right.
lift to rewrite
Absolutely.
An application from, you know, Angular.
Come on,
for example.
Easy peasy.
You know, but
just a couple lines of code.
Just a couple lines of code. A couple million lines of right. code is all.
That being said, you know, if we did come with a business case for that, you know, we could talk about how hiring for React, you know, is maybe easier than Angular, and talk about some of the other advantages that come with that switch and, you know, perhaps suggest sort of a progressive switch. If you make, you know, come with a plan, come with a business case, and again, you know, the best idea wins. So I'd say certainly there's space for that. I don't know how realistic it is at this point, but
yeah, I mean, I know that was, I'm throwing out very, very, you know, hypothetical out there, but, you know, I mean, talking about culture and things of that nature, if you feel that this is something that could be better for the company, are you going to be heard? Is that something where you know, that if it's pragmatic and business sense, then why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
And you think it's the company, the culture is set to be open for that?
Yeah, I would think so. Just, you know, the question of, you know, which tools do we use? What technologies do we use? Like, yeah, we're definitely open to different ideas in terms of answering that question. As far as this specific switch, you know, at this point in time,
right.
Again, very big switch to make. But yeah,
very
overall,
hypothetical, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, overall, I would say definitely open to, you know, learning, iterating, and adjusting as needed.
Ah, cool.
Cool. That's awesome. That's good to know, like, from a developer's, you know, perspective that, you know, you're getting taken care of and your voice is heard, and that's huge.
I think in this, the time we're in, and especially we talk about the new IT, that's the space we're in now, is where I think developers have a little bit more of a say, wouldn't you guys say, instead of just being this worker bee that sits there, they actually have a little more integration into what's actually going on. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's actually, you know, expected more. Developers should have ownership over the tools that they're using. They should be proactive about, you know, learning what's on the horizon with new tooling and tools. And yeah, I would say, you know, coming forward with suggestions, ideas about different ways to do things, like, it's more prevalent now, and I think it's more of an expectation. So,
cool. Hmm. Cool. So, what do you look for in a candidate? I mean, so now that you're on the management side, I'm assuming you're doing some of the interviews. When you're doing your interviews, what can a candidate do to stand out to you to say, like, hey, I want to be here. I believe in your cause. What can a developer do to say or to show you that they care?
Shine.
Yeah,
shine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think there's really sort of two main questions that I'm looking to answer whenever I interact with a candidate. So the first question is, you know, can this person do the job? That question sort of dives into the technical skill set, technical competency. So, you know, validating signals to answer that question are, you know, past experience, past education, recent projects, really just seeing, you know, can this person code? And yeah, just looking for those signals. The second question is, you know, can I stand to work with this person for 8 hours a day, you know, 5 days a week?
Right.
And really to sort of answer that question, it's just having a conversation with the person, you know, are they able to, are they receptive to feedback? You know, open to learning about new stuff? Are they interested in what we're doing? And yeah, just having a conversation, getting to know them.
I'm curious, are there red flags? Let's say for the first piece of that, like, do they know how to do the job? Are there red flags that you see that you're like, oh, you know, just so for our listeners so they can go, okay, I got to make sure that I'm clear here that I do know how to do the job. What would you say is a red flag that, oh, maybe this person doesn't know what they're doing?
Yeah, so...
I'm sure there's a plenty of try too hard.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know. So there's a lot that you need to know to be a competent developer, right? And, and there's no way.
That's why there's not very many of them.
Yeah. Right. There's no way that we're going to, you know, ask questions to, you know, ensure that you know everything that we would like you to know. And so we really just sort of go back to basics and ask some pretty fundamental questions about software engineering and programming. And once you have a conversation with an individual, even if it starts out simple, you can kind of dig into technical concepts. And within two or three questions, you can get a pretty good handle on their background and, you know, sort of how honest they're being in terms of, you know, whether they're competent with the technology or not.
Yeah, it seems like I've always found that when you ask the questions and they get excited, then you know that they do know what they're doing. But when they start hem-hawing around and
I worked
on that back in so and so, but when they're excited, you know, oh cool,
you know,
they know what they're doing because they're excited about it, and so to me that's always been a crazy red flag when they're like, oh yeah. I know how to do that. Well, okay,
tell me how.
yeah
That's another story.
I like to ask, you know, tell me about one of the more or most complex technical challenges that you solved. Right. So you can get
a good one.
That is.
Listen, people, that's a good one.
So you get a pretty good answer right off the, you know, I think anybody can answer that question initially, but then you start asking, you know, dive into what made it challenging.
They should have it too. They probably remember, man, this was, I was so proud of myself when I dug in and did this. It was freaking awesome. And that's what I'm talking about when you get excited about what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Or they're like, well, I did this. And you're like, oh, okay.
Think that, or they remember, you know, the pain so much that it's, it just comes, you know, flooding back. And, and they can't help but, you know, talk about it.
Oh, that's cool. How about the other, though? I think the other piece is even harder. To find somebody, I mean, because we all put our good face on, right? When we're going to an interview, it's just like that first date. You don't know if this person is abusive or what. You know what I mean? You don't know who you're coming into. Is there red flags there? Is there?
Yeah, I mean, I think people can hide certain things. I think for the most part, though, people kind of tell you who they are after 30 minutes or so of talking.
Agreed.
You know, unless you're well-versed in manipulating people and hiding things, which most people aren't.
Especially developers. They're not good at that.
No.
I don't know that I've encountered any of those folks, but...
I'm going to shut up. Yeah.
You've seen a lot, Brad.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know if this is the right time or place, but I just had a thought. I was like, I wonder if we should do like a series like around like... horror stories from hiring managers.
Yeah. That would be kind of...
But that makes me wonder, do you happen to have any like horror stories from interviewing people or developers?
None. Yeah, no.
Okay, good.
Well, I mean, there was one, but I'm not talking about that. No.
No, that means you're on the right track, though. I mean, so you guys are doing something right.
Yeah, I think, you know, you talk to people. Sometimes the conversation doesn't go very well. You know, sometimes they're... not what you're looking for in a candidate. And that's okay. And I wouldn't say that that's, you know, necessarily horrible. I'm sure I've had interviews myself where I've just, you know, not been
got
on the same
on the
page.
Yeah,
so it happens to everybody. And, you know, you move on. So.
Yep.
And I think technology has done a pretty good job of sifting now.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you guys say that we've come a long way from just a big, giant stack of resumes that an HR person is fumbling through, wouldn't you say? I mean, there's so many products out there, and so I mean, this is a Brad question, unfortunately, because he's his whole world.
But. No, I mean, when it's
not easier, it's not better.
No,
it's still a bunch of crap out there. That
this
you gotta,
is just my opinion, and take it with a grain of salt, but. You don't really know somebody until you actually start to have a conversation with them and get to understand their technology background to be able to do that. Whereas where with what technology is doing, they can't really tell you the specifics about a person. They can give you, well, I think this is what you're looking for, but it may not always work.
Yeah, but AI's getting better every day.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. You know, I look at every resume that comes into our recruiting software. Fortunately, I'm in a place right now where I can do that. I think I would agree. You know, I don't know that we're there yet in terms of AI really being able to differentiate. And I like to have conversations with individuals.
My biggest thing is you're hiring a human being.
Yeah.
It's a human interaction. No AI is ever going to take the place of having that person-to-person conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
No, not going to happen.
Yeah. As I've been playing with AI, and I get in conversations with it, and I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
You know, I was having this conversation.
I mean, it's not a person. It's AI. Right? But I'm like, it's making some good points here.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was having that conversation this weekend. I mean, AI is coming a long way. But when you're dealing with decisions about somebody's future or things of that nature.
Or that you can work with.
Yeah.
Somebody you can actually work with.
You can't leave that to AI, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It can be a tool to use, but it's not the determining factor.
Yeah. And I think that's a long way down the road. I mean, us humans are going to still be involved in that process for a long time.
Yeah, I think this person's going to work with me or work on one of the teams that I manage, right? They're not going to work. They might work with the AI. They might have, you know, Copilot or whatever. Yeah. But
right.
Yeah, and you know, I need to know that I can talk to them and sort of make that assessment as far as fit. And the other thing is people, you know, developers are smart. They'll adapt. They can learn how to manipulate, you know, these tests or whatever. I see resumes all the time that are just filled with, you know, keywords, buzzwords, and it's pretty obvious. So this stuff can be gamified. So
do you? I know how I react to those. How do you react to those? I mean, they're trying to you know, get your
system.
Attention. Yeah, it pisses me off, but that's me.
I do not fault people for, you know, playing by the rules of the game. That being said, you know, if you do have to do that to kind of get through.
And you don't do your due diligence to even look at what my company is practically.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
Yeah. I'll say a few of those people have moved on to sort of first and second interviews after a resume screen. So I don't necessarily, you know, fault them for it, but it is obvious. And usually it's a crutch for some other deficiency.
And listeners, guys, listen to that. I am dumbfounded when somebody's out there just spitting it out. No, I can't imagine that they get much from that at all. And then they wonder why they're not getting calls back.
Yeah, I don't know.
Agreed.
I don't know how effective it is. I would say, you know, maybe instead of spending your time and energy on sort of gaming the system, like just go build something cool. I think that'd be far better use of your time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love it. Good.
Agreed.
We got off on it.
We sure
tangent.
Did.
I apologize.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good. I mean, it's relevant information, so I like it.
Yeah, and I think for listeners, it's a good thing.
It is. So, hopefully. What does the interview process for Breeze Airways look like? I mean, help us unpack that a little bit more. Does somebody go through 1-2 rounds of interviews?
Yeah.
What does that process look like?
Yeah. So the process sort of start to finish from the interviewee. Perspective or candidate perspective is an initial 30-minute sort of get to know you behavioral interview, and then if they move on from that, there's an hour and a half long technical interview. The first part of that is some technical questions and sort of a coding challenge style question, and then the second half of that is a high level discussion around how you would design a service or system to solve a specific problem.
Cool.
So, yeah, that is way
that's
cool.
Good stuff.
That is. So then once they go through that technical round, is it okay, they've passed both our in-person interview and our technical, is that when an offer comes out or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So most of the interviews that we do are remote nowadays over
right.
Teams,
yeah.
Which, yeah, I think everyone is doing that.
Remote is our world now.
It yeah. is.
And then, yeah, after that second interview, we get together as a team, discuss the interview and come up with the go or no-go decision, then try to put together an offer that works for everyone if we decide to move forward.
So really only two interviews?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's, gosh, I mean, I know you've had people at companies that do like 8 interviews. Like,
yes,
what the
I
hell
have.
Do you need 8 interviews for? Yeah. Holy crap.
Yes, I have. But yeah, I try to get them down to 2 because my job is to make sure that I'm bringing them the qualified person. So get together, half hour, make sure that it's a cultural fit, then do technical and make an offer. Let's,
yeah.
let's not do anything else.
Because you're going to make mistakes with the person and the fit. But I think the more you work hard at it, I don't think it necessarily helps.
Yeah, I think there's research that shows that after 4 or 5 interviews, you have diminishing returns in terms of accuracy.
Agreed.
From an interview perspective. And then, so the 1.5-hour interview, it's a little different. It's kind of like 2 interviews tossed into 1. And I think that's easier, just the overhead of scheduling meetings, getting people together. You know, if you're going to do 1 interview, let's just push it a little bit, and it'll be the sort of the content of 2 interviews. Yeah. And then we also do a lot of work behind the scenes to, you know, research the candidate backgrounds, kind of
Absolutely.
See what they're into, you know, pull up GitHub profiles, look at code bases, of course, stuff that's public, you know. Uh-huh. And so I feel that we have a really good sort of handle on candidates before any of the interviews start. So
awesome.
One thing I do is take them to lunch, though. If it's somebody that I'm really,
yeah,
I want to know I can just hang out with this person and. And it's okay. And if I'm really, really, I'll take them to golf because that's when you can really find out if somebody's full of crap.
That's true.
Yeah.
But not by they play.
Yeah, no, not how they play or not as how good they play because I'm not one to talk, as you know, but how they play and the fact of do they throw their freaking club or
yeah.
or do they? I mean, everybody curses on the field. I mean, that's not a thing.
Right.
That's, I mean, that's the only place where it's totally.
Right.
Safe to go. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Man, I have just digressed like crazy on the show today. Let's bring it back. What do you think is the future of the company? What is the future? What are you gonna, yeah. what are you looking at in the future as far as just whatever that means?
The future of Breeze?
Yeah. Whatever that means to you.
Yeah, so we have some pretty good software, pretty good systems, pretty good operations processes right now. So really, it's a matter of sort of scaling the existing business. So we have, yeah, a lot of the sort of foundation and groundwork in place. And
you're ready to scale.
Yeah, opening up more stations, getting more routes going, and then responding to that growth, you know, with software that just facilitates a really good experience
Makes
for our
easy.
Guests. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So,
cool. So you feel the future is bright.
Yes, I think so.
I would think so. I mean, what did we hear last time? Like 80 planes in 80 months or something
oh, yeah,
like that?
They were, yeah. yeah, they were killing it
so,
6
yeah.
months ago.
I exactly. Well,
so yeah, there's sort of 2 sides to that coin, right? So the one side is we are signed up for growth, and the other side is, you know, whether we like it or not,
hang
the growth is coming.
Hang
yeah.
on to your freaking hat.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So absolutely. It's, yeah, we've, the sort of loads that our systems have had to handle have grown tremendously just, you know, from launching till now, you know, handling sort of Black Friday traffic going into the holidays. It's pretty insane to see how much of a jump there's been.
And just as a reminder, or for a reminder, how long has the company, Breeze Airways, how long has it been around
yeah.
now?
So it's been around for about 3 years. We've only been flying planes since, I think, about March of 2021. So
okay.
Operationally pretty new.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love to hear. I mean, because you don't hear, I mean, airlines don't just pop up
yeah.
all over the place. That's not a business that, you know, we've got a big
anybody
over,
can just get into.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like that or a
so
car manufacturer.
I'm gonna throw this out here too, mm-hmm. but like with that growth, I mean, does that provide added stress for you guys or
yep.
I mean or expectations?
That was
yeah.
quick.
Absolutely.
That was, did
right?
you see that? That was quick. Yep.
That was.
Yep. Added stress for
right.
sure.
Yeah, but I mean so
it is what it is.
Well, so what do you want to do? Like what do you want to do for your career? What do you want to do for your job? Do you want to go work at a big corporation where they've scaled to the max?
Mundane.
They've yeah, they've accessed,
yeah.
you know, their total addressable market, like they've reached the limits and you're sort of maintaining, or do you want
to
go solve?
That doesn't sound fun.
No, never.
I mean, to some people, you know, if, you know.
Security.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if you want to go, you know, build something different, tackle new challenges, and yeah, it is sort of like, you know, the best of the best in terms of being at a startup. You know, we have product market fit, but it is still a startup where we're solving these, the, you know, sort of new problems. We have, you know, a green space in terms of the tech we can use. So yeah, kind of the best of both worlds.
That's exciting.
That is. That's really exciting.
That sounds exciting to me. Last question.
You want it or you want
me
to take it?
Can I ask it?
Yeah, let's do it.
We like to throw this out because this is just your opinion. This is just all in your head. What do you think technology is going to look like in the future? Not at your company, but
in general.
In general.
Technology in general.
Any new IT craziness out there that you're like, ooh, this is going to be a cool thing?
Yeah. I mean, the AI stuff is really popping off lately, right?
AI. Always.
It's been interesting to see, you know, what ChatGPT-3 can do, or that application. That
it's crazy.
So yeah, that, I think, you know, extrapolate that out 5-10 iterations, that's going to be very interesting.
Good or bad?
Yeah.
We'll see.
I think, you know, historically, technology has opened up more jobs than it's closed. Automation.
Yeah, so everybody's scared about AI. Oh, all the, man, they've been scared about computers and stuff since the 40s, 50s. Yeah.
Think if about not before.
Think
if
about not. The ATM, right? There's more bank tellers now than there have ever been.
Yeah.
So. Jobs, I think jobs will definitely be different. The work we do will definitely be different. I think it's a matter of utilizing these tools and so learning to work with these tools.
Agreed.
Yeah, that seems to be the most sort of like prescient change on the horizon right now. You know, Web3 and crypto was trendy for a while. That's sort of fallen off as of late.
Yeah, don't get me started on that one.
Yeah, we're not going down that road.
Well, okay.
I mean, I know it's going to stay. It's around to stay, but it's having growing pains. Let's just say that.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, I think going back, sort of the biggest changes that I see coming are just unlocking energy, solar becoming inexpensive, and then using that energy to power, you know.
So is it true we figured out the fusion? Is that, supposedly I heard that
seems very
fusion.
Early stages.
It's very, very early stages.
Wasn't it in early stages like 30 years ago?
And we're still there.
Yeah.
We're just this.
But supposedly they actually figured out how to get more energy from than less.
So my understanding is that there was an increase of energy, but it was a large amount of energy total. So they're sort of using, the calculation that they're using is the energy that was like closest to igniting or activating the material, and then the energy that was, you know, that they gained from that. So there was a net increase over the energy that was localized to that material.
So we're still a ways out.
Yeah, overall, I think that, you know, you're not going to carry around.
But
sort
it's
of a,
hopeful. It's. I mean, I haven't heard anything like I said for 30 years. I mean, we talk about cold fusion forever, and it's like, it's like they talked about AC current back at the turn of the century, and Tesla said, we can do that, and
there we are.
And Edison said, no, you can't, and we knew who was right.
Yeah. So energy is becoming, you know, cheaper and more accessible, and computers are becoming cheaper and more accessible. So take that, take AI, extrapolate that. And
so would you say exciting, cool, fun future, or
both exciting
scary,
in a good way and a bad
total
way?
Total recall.
I mean, it can go both ways, right? So, you know, how do we as society like utilize these technologies? We can be for good or evil. Really, it's up to us collectively. So,
My whole thing on like AI in that regard too is we set the parameters of whatever we want it to execute on. So as long as we're, I guess, aware of that and understanding of that, then I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the hope, right?
Yep, that is the hope, but you never know.
I'm a positive person, so I don't know. I just choose to think, hey, it'll be good. And if I'm wrong, then I'll probably be dead. So
I'm right there with you. We're all the guys.
So who cares?
Right. Exactly.
Let's just go for it. I'm all over. I love technology. I think it's cool to see all of the cool and neat and wonderful things, AI and all of the stuff out there, and even blockchain and what it can do, what it will do in the future. I think is a beautiful thing. So thank you for being on the show, man. Good stuff.
Any last questions?
You got it.
No
questions or any last comments?
There you go.
Okay.
Don't ask us questions because we'll be here all day.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, just, you know, really enjoyed the experience and appreciate you having me on. So thank you so much.
So how do people contact, get a hold of, if there are people out there that are looking for jobs or what have you? What can they do?
What's the process?
Yeah, what's the
process? Yeah, there you go. So as far as jobs go for Breeze specifically, if you go to flybreeze.com, scroll to the bottom, there's a little careers page. You can click on that.
There it is.
Yeah, and then I'm on, you know, LinkedIn, a lot of social media platforms, but if you reach out on LinkedIn, just search for Trevor Lane, and you'll find me on there.
Trevor Lane, people, yep. That's there an you in. Go. You got an in. You tell him you heard it on the new IT, and he will hire you on the spot.
Yep.
You gotta, I don't know about that.
You got to skip the interview process. Yeah.
Straight offer. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right, maybe not. Well, thank you so much, Brad. Any last words from you? We good?
No, I'm good.
Wrapping
we covered
this
everything.
Thing up?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, people, you know the drill. Thank you for listening to